The gospel is from John chapter 15, verses 1 through 8. I am the true vine, and my Father is the vine grower. He removes every branch in me that bears no fruit. Every branch that bears fruit, he prunes to make it bear more fruit. You have already been cleansed by the word that I have spoken to you. Abide in me as I abide in you. Just as the branch cannot bear fruit by itself unless it abides in the vine, neither can you unless you abide in me. I am the vine, you are the branches. Those who abide in me and I in them bear much fruit, because apart from me, you can do nothing. Whoever does not abide in me is thrown away like a branch and withers. Such branches are gathered, thrown into the fire, and burned. If you abide in me and my words abide in you, ask for whatever you wish, and it will be done for you. My Father is glorified by this, that you bear much fruit and become my disciples. The word of the Lord.
I literally just came back from a journey to the Holy Land, first time in my life. Amazing experience, and would encourage all of you to go if you have the interest and the ability to go. But anytime you go on a journey, it makes you assess life, doesn't it? You kind of look at where have I been, where have I gotten to, where am I going from here? And anytime you go to the Holy Land, you're definitely thinking about what does Jesus mean? You have to kind of rethink it, reassess it. And so I thought, all you young people who are here for confirmation today, you've been on a journey, and you've reached a significant place in it, and it will continue on. And you certainly have to be thinking very seriously today about what does Jesus mean to me? So I'm going to look at a few incidences from my travels and see if they might apply a little bit. The first story is this. As I was on the plane coming back the other day, I was seated next to a very nice young woman who was going to college to be an architect, and she was going to school in Salt Lake City. So I was traveling with a friend of mine. We're both Lutheran pastors. And he and this young woman, when she said she was in Salt Lake City, immediately perked up and she said, well, I bet you meet a lot of Mormons out there. And she says, oh, yes, they're in my class, they're my teachers. And I said, well, kind of how does that go, you know, being exposed to this other religion? And she was kind of quiet for a second. And then she said, well, I was raised a very strict Catholic, and it was very strict and severe, and I didn't really like it, and it wasn't meaningful to me. So just recently, I've kind of become irreligious, and I had to call my parents up and told them that I was going to be irreligious from now on. And my friend and I are both pastors. We're kind of like, well, so what do you say to that? So we're kind of quiet, and she notices that something is wrong. So she changes the topic, and she looks at my friend and I and says, so what do you two guys do? Well, she was cool when we told her that we were Lutheran pastors, and, you know, she was fine. And we kept talking. That was good. But it made me sad in a way. It made me sad that she was experienced to faith in a way that was negative and judging and hard. And who would want to continue on if that is what faith means to you? If you have a God who's angry and looking over your shoulder, a God who's punishing, and it's all about the do's and don'ts, who would want to have that kind of a faith? As I look back at my life, I have been so blessed, I realized, to know a God who is loving and growing and who is joyful and who is the God that the young people, as you've shared your faith, that you have already experienced. It's not meant that my faith journey has always been easy. There have been times when I've been lost. There have times when I felt God is far away from me. I don't know where to go. Why is this happening to me? I thought it was going to be smoother sailing than this. But at every stage in my life, I've always been surprised by the new path that God has opened up. And even at this stage in the game, I find God opening up new surprises, new joy to me all the time. And that's what we wish for all of you. And that's what we wish for everyone in your life. But on the other hand, even though she was going through this, I didn't feel too bad. I felt it was a good thing for her to take this step. Because guess what? All of us in our faith journeys need to move beyond the faith that we had as just little kids. That's the faith that our parents had for us when they brought us to this baptismal font. But we need to move beyond that. We need to make this faith our own if it's going to have any meaning for us. I felt bad that at this point, you know, she had to say, no, I don't want to have anything to do with it. But guess what? I've talked to countless people through my careers who have had a moment like that young woman who said, that's it, I'm walking away from my faith, who years later are called back and are on that path again. Only this time, it is the God that they know personally. Second thing about going to Israel, everyone says, oh, it'll change your perspective on your faith, and it does. The key thing is kind of you get the geographical stuff right. You realize how small a country Israel actually is, and that people, you know, it wasn't hard to move between these places. You also get a chance, and it's a way to connect with the places where Jesus actually was walking. You know, you see the Sea of Galilee, and it's beautiful, this beautiful lake and the hills around it, and the sun setting and turning it kind of pink with the evening light, and you realize Jesus was actually walking around that lake. Jesus was actually in a boat on that lake. You see these ancient villages like Capernaum, that are excavated back to the time of what the village would look like in Jesus' day. You see the very foundation stones of the buildings that were there when Jesus walked there, and you think, whoa, this is real. This is awesome. But on the other hand, it's kind of disconcerting too, because you're thinking, I wish it were easier to know exactly where Jesus was when he did these things. And surprise, after 2,000 years of history, those places are really hard. I don't know if you've ever been to the East Coast, you know, but out there they have more history than we do. And on some of the buildings in some of the towns, like in Philadelphia or whatever it is like that, you actually see plaques on the wall that says, you know, George Washington slept here, or Ben Franklin lived in this house, and you can actually know that they were there. The trouble is, there are no signs like that in Jerusalem and Israel, because we just can't know. The places, and nowadays, there are many churches that say, this is the church where that stands on the site where Jesus died on the cross. This is the church that stands in Bethlehem on the site where he was born. And if you stand in line for 2 hours, you can actually look at this stone that they say is the place where Jesus was actually laid when he was born. But then you kind of realize those churches weren't built until at least 300 years after Jesus died. And before that, they didn't have churches marking those places. In fact, there's a woman, her name was Helena. She was the mother of the Emperor Constantine, the first Roman emperor who became a Christian. And she went there to Jerusalem 300 years afterwards, and she wanted to know, where was Jesus born? Where did Jesus die? Where was he buried? And there weren't churches there. Nobody had cared enough. So she started asking around, and people started scratching their heads. Well, I guess this is the place. It's kind of hard to know where Jesus for certain was. In a way, it's a little disappointing. Here's the most shocking thing I learned. One day, we went to the Church of the Holy Sepulchre, and that commemorates the place where Jesus died on the cross, and another part of the church where supposedly he was buried in the tomb, and you can look at it. Again, if you wait for 2 hours. The very next day, they put us on the bus, and they took us to the garden where they claim Jesus died there on the cross and where he was buried in a tomb there. There are two places where Jesus died and two tombs where he laid, and we don't know where either one of them is. And you have to realize, does it really make any difference? No. In fact, my constant thought as I went to church after church and not know whether this was in any way connected to Jesus was simply, Jesus has left the building, and that wasn't a bad thought. Jesus himself says, I'm not sticking around here in the same old way. He left the cross. He left the tomb. He left the empty room where he met his disciples. He left Jerusalem. He said, it's good that I not stick around here anymore and that you not look for me here anymore. You need to look for me elsewhere. As somebody said to me after the first service, Jesus' final words to his disciples was, don't stick around in Jerusalem. Go, because he says, I'm already gone. And most of us aren't going to have the privilege of actually going to Jerusalem, and yet our faith is real because Jesus says, now the way I'm going to be present in the world is when you read my word and the Spirit makes it alive in your heart. The way I'm going to be present in the world is when you baptize your kids or when you come to Holy Communion and I'm going to be present there, claiming you and touching your lives. And most importantly, that he said, the way I'm going to be present now is through each and every one of you. Think about the most impactful thing about your faith. And I bet it's a person. I bet it's a person who loved you in the name of Jesus and who made the faith real for you. I'll be willing to bet that it was your parents or grandparent or friend or your baptismal sponsors. And now we're all asked to become that person who makes Jesus real in this world. Final story is this. I flew out of Sioux Falls because I wanted to be there with my friends so we could be on the same flight and all this and that. Well, when I got up to go to the Sioux Falls airport, it was a blizzard. In the middle of April, it was a blizzard. We got in very slowly into the airport, and we got in there, and we looked at the television screens that have all the departures, and we saw our plane was canceled. So we went up to the desk, and can we get on the afternoon flight? And she was clicking away and said, all right, I think you got it in the afternoon flight. Excuse me. And as soon as that, we got on there, we looked up, canceled. And the evening flight was canceled. And finally they said, we'll put you on the next day. And we're like, we're going to miss the whole first day of the tour. And she says, I can't do anything. So we got up the next morning, we got on the flight. Our travel agent had said, we'll have somebody to meet you at the airport, and they can catch you up with the tour. So fine, we get to Israel. It's a hassle to get to the airport in a foreign country. I don't know if you've done it. You know, everyone's speaking a different language. You don't know where to go. You have to go through passports. They're asking you questions, you know, are you carrying anything illegal with you? And it's very intimidating. And you finally get through it all, and you get out into the main terminal. And there, as our travel agent had promised, was a little guy holding a sign, you know, with, you know, our names. And he said, oh, welcome to Israel, you know. And he walked us right out the front door and put us in a cab with this guy that we didn't even really know. And said, goodbye. And I thought, I just did everything I should not do in foreign travel. And the cab driver turned around and looked at us and said, where are you going? And I said, you're supposed to know that. I have no idea. Well, he got on the phone, and he's calling up somebody, and he gives me the phone, and there's some guy in English, I don't know who it is, saying, yeah, yeah, we'll get you to catch you up to your tour, but it's going to either be at the restaurant in this city for lunch, or if you don't catch him there, then you're going to go directly to the hotel where you're going to stay that night. So we go off, and our guy is talking on the phone, and we quickly realize that he speaks literally no English, or at least he won't speak it with us. And so we stopped talking to him all entirely and just sit there in silence. We're going down what was the freeway there, and it split in a fork, and he pulls over to the side of the road and sits there and picks up the phone and is talking furiously. And we're like, he's lost? He doesn't know which direction to go here? And he gets done with the phone call, and he turns the engine off, and we're sitting by the side of the road there, and I don't know what to ask him because he didn't speak the English, and I'm like, oh, great. We're being kidnapped now. Is anyone going to pay the ransom for this? And all these things go through your mind. All of a sudden, just a minute or so later, he looks in the rearview mirror and says, your bus is here. And our tour bus pulled up behind us on the approach by the freeway, and we got on the bus, this big, beautiful air-conditioned bus, and we went on over there. Is that incredible? You know, when I signed up for a trip for Israel, I did not sign up. I just signed up to be on the nice air-conditioned tour bus. I did not sign up to be sitting by the side of the road in a dead cab with a guy who doesn't speak English. Isn't this our Christian life? We're asking you to sign up to say, yes, I'm going to continue this journey. I'm going on this journey. And you don't really know what you're saying yes to today. You have to take it on faith, right? You think it's all going to be this nice air-conditioned tour bus that is going to take you safely to beautiful places and have beautiful food, but you might actually, because everyone who's been on this journey finds themselves stranded by the side of the road wondering, what is going on with my life? Where am I going? When those moments happen, have faith. Realize it's not all about you. Continue to put your hands in the hands of God and realize he's going to pull up in that bus when you least expect it, when you just are absolutely going to be surprised by it, and he's going to take you to the place where you wanted to go all along, right there with him. That's my journey, my lessons for my journey, and I hope they're helpful for you as you continue your journey as well. Amen.